Welcome back. I'm Ian Masters, and this is Background Briefing. And joining us now is Glenn Carl, who is the author of The Interrogator and Education. Glenn Carl was a member of the CIA's clandestine service for 23 years and retired in 2007 as Deputy National Intelligence Officer for Transnational Threats. Welcome to Background Briefing, Glenn Carl.
Thank you very much. I'm happy to be here.
And Glenn, the New York Times on Wednesday is carrying a front page story, CIA employees face new inquiry amid clashes on detention program. And it appears that the CIA's Inspector General's office has asked the Justice Department to investigate allegations that the CIA may have been engaged in malfeasance, perhaps even hacking into or spying on the Senate Intelligence Committee about a report that they've had in the works for some time about the CIA's secret detention and interrogation program. What's your understanding about what's happening there?
Well, I would be surprised if there were active hacking. I mean, that's a clearly illegal act by the CIA that I don't think one or the institution would engage in. However, we might get down to semantics and what we mean by hacking and penetration. That the CIA, either individuals, small groups, or some management structure, actively seek to stop or recast the understanding of the Oversight Committee's work on interrogation, that I don't simply believe, I know to be the case. There has been this clash on the release of the Oversight Committee, the Congressional Report on Enhanced Interrogation, because it will make the CIA look hideous and to have manipulated the truth and to have served a master without thinking and to have done things that are un-American and illegal. So this is an ongoing old debate, something I wrestled with directly over 10 years ago when I was still an agency officer. Many officers did. The oversight committees have tried to straighten out, and there's nothing surprising about that. It's just a dark story, but it's a true one.
Well, this 6,300-page report that's been held up for some time about the agency's use of waterboarding and other harsh techniques. And you yourself wrote about your experience in your book, Glenn Carl, The Interrogator and Education, where you were working at a black site with somebody that's supposed to be like number three in al-Qaeda who you knew was innocent, but yet headquarters kept saying, well, the fact that he's saying he's innocent is only a trick and you've got to use more harsh measures. And eventually this poor guy was held in a chained in a cellar or whatever for years and years. And that was one of the when Obama came in, they finally released him because he was innocent, as you'd been protesting all along. So you've witnessed firsthand the abuses of.
Yeah. The sorry thing, and there are so many sorry aspects to this whole saga, is that there's no debate to be had. There's no debate. It's a fact what's gone on. Every word in my book is true, but other people have said this too. The Oversight Committee has established this. Before that, the Senate, Military Affairs Committee also did a report on its own that came to the same conclusions. There's really no debate. The sixth thing is that the only people, there are two parties that take the other side of this. One, they're the political appointee hacks and apologists for defenders of the reputation of the Bush administration. They're the only ones. And two, those who made the policies and carry them out in the CIA, and then the institution itself that doesn't want to look to have been thoughtless, crude, illegal, and to have screwed up and then simply to serve the master unthinkingly, just like other countries' servants do when they do hideous things. Now, those are the facts. There's no debate to have, any more than there is a debate to be had on whether torture works or is in some way legal. The answers to both of those questions clearly are no, and yet the debate continues. It's a sorry tale all around. But there's really no debate for anyone who looks at the facts, and just as the Oversight Committee's report concludes.
Well, at this point, though, what we're being told via Mark Mazzetti's reporting in the New York Times, and McClatchy's also been covering it, is that essentially what's going on now is a battle between the CIA and the Intelligence Committee. And the suspicion is that I don't know whether it was hacking or what it was, but the Oversight Committee feels or suspects that the CIA somehow got into this report in order to find out who'd leaked damaging information on their side.
Yeah.
Is that your understanding?
Well, some part of the CIA tried to find out who had leaked the information. Absolutely. I have no doubt whatsoever that that occurred. That's the kind of thing that the agency aggressively will do all the time. Absolutely. Now, literally hacking into an oversight committee's
That was my word. That was probably very imprecise.
I don't think that they would have hacked in, but that they would have tried to find out who knew what, who did what, who was talking to whom. No question about it. Of course they would, definitely. And people who talk out of school or who say things that look to be embarrassing or harmful will either get covered up or harassed or stepped on or destroyed. Absolutely, no question about it. There's no question that that goes on. Absolutely, that goes on.
And again, I'm speaking with Glenn Carl, who is the author of The Interrogator and Education. Glenn Carl was a member of the CIA's clandestine service for 23 years and retired in 2007 as Deputy National Intelligence Officer for Transnational Threats. So specifically, what the New York Times has revealed is that the Intelligence Oversight Committee, members of it, have complained that the CIA employees were improperly monitoring the work of staff members of the Senate Intelligence Committee. So we don't know. I use the word hacking, it may not be the right word, but improperly monitoring. That's...
Well, I believe that. Did they ask, did someone in the CIA try to find out what congressional staffer was talking to whom and what they were saying and where they're... what kind of questions they were pursuing and that sort of thing? I don't doubt that for a second. But then we get into a sort of semantic debate. You know, the fact is that that kind of interest will exist. I have no doubt at all. Was it done in a way that is illegal? I tend to doubt, but in a way that was intimidating or led to pressure or posturing, maneuvering by the agency? Sure, this happens all the time. Not just by the agency. This goes on all the time. But government entities trying to protect their own equities, and on this, it's the CYA kind of thing, frankly, because it looks bad and it is bad, and so the agency doesn't want it to come out. But it's a shameful tale, and the facts are clear, and the Oversight Committee has told them, just as I said, and the other few people who have spoken out have said, there's no. Sort of discovery by the Oversight Committee's report. It's simply that it's suppressed because it's so devastating to the tale. It gives the lie to what we've been told for 10 years and what I and others have tried to say, you know, this is not true. Well, I'm sorry to become, heated about this.
Sure.
But it's just shocking to me. It shouldn't be shocking at this point in my life. But it's shocking that such brazen mistruths, if not outright lies, continue to have currency in debate to the point where, let me point this out, why does this stuff go on? Well, in the last presidential campaign, one of the Republican platforms for the presidential campaign and the formal position of the presidential candidate of the Republican Party was that if elected, we will return to the use of enhanced interrogation, which is not torture. And so when you have that kind of attitude widespread and embraced by one major party, of course you will have in the background of the internal bureaucratic and political debates the kind of maneuvering that we're talking about. There's no doubt that it goes on, but the facts are clear that this stuff is hideous, and the report says so.
Well, but what Senator Mark Udall, who's on the committee, is saying is that the CIA took, quoting him, unprecedented action against the committee. That still remains to be seen what the action was. But we know that the report, this 6,300-page report, has been in the works for a long time. It's cost the taxpayer $40 million, and it's yet to be declassified. And that seems to be where the bottleneck is, right? John Brennan, the head of the CIA, does not want this report to come out.
That's right, because it will show that the kind of distortion occurred systematically by the agency acting on behalf of both its political masters in the Bush White House. It does the following things. When Vice President Cheney inquired, I understand that Saddam Hussein's intelligence service met with Mohammed Atta, one of the 19, the organizer of the hijackers of 9/11, the terrorists. That's a legitimate question. He said, there's a report that indicates that. Please look into it. So the CIA did. And the CIA found multiple times that no such meeting ever occurred. So there, okay, what did the vice president then go on television and say to the United States? He said, we have reports that Mohammed Atta met with the Iraqi intelligence service. If I said Syrian, I misspoke. Iraqi intelligence service. Well, that is technically a true statement. There were reports to that effect. The assessment was that the reports were wrong, but that's not what we were told. The same kind of nonsense is going on with this Oversight Committee report and distortions, that if the report, and so if the report were declassified, as it must be, it will show that kind of distortion openly, and that the agency misrepresented the facts and the administration misrepresented the facts. That's why there is this stuff going on, because it will show the emperor has no clothes and has been misrepresenting the truth.
So who are they report? Who's Brennan? You say he's the CIA as an institution is going to be embarrassed by this report. That's why they don't want it released. But who's covering up for Bush and Cheney and for the neocons that got us into this mess?
Well, I don't know firsthand now the dynamics in the Oversight Committee, but I suspect it's more or less the same as pretty much the same as when I was working. And that is that the Oversight Committees were largely paralyzed because the Democrats wanted to look at the realities of enhanced interrogation. And the Republicans said, well, we have to make sure that everything is done properly, and we have to dot all the I's and cross all the T's and jot every tittle, which amounted to obstructionism so that nothing embarrassing could come out. So the committee was totally paralyzed. So it came down to be a political thing, just like the whole Benghazi story is a total bit of nonsense. It's almost a birther story, frankly, all based, made out of whole cloth and distortion of the flimsiest of truths. When the facts are pretty clear. And that's what's going on in this debate. It certainly did. I know for a fact when I was in my still in service, but there's no change. There's no change. Those are the ones who are covering up.
But one of the weird things about the way the CIA operated in this torture business was that the few Arabic-speaking people, like Ali Soufan, was with the FBI, but he actually was successful because he didn't use any...
But you know what he was doing. He knows the FBI knows how to interrogate people,
right.
And you don't torture. Absolutely.
Yeah, no, you create empathy as opposed to pain. But the CIA's Arab speakers seem to be shunted aside, and they brought this guy Rodriguez in, who comes out of, the Latin American desk. He's a Cuban, I think, isn't he?
Puerto Rican, I think.
Puerto Rican.
Yeah, I worked with Jose a little bit. That's not quite right. It's not that the Arabists were shunted aside. I mean, there are always shortages of personnel, and there are never enough Arabic speakers. That wasn't a conscious decision. Rodriguez was brought in for a number of other reasons. I mean, he's sort of he was a willing tool in a way. And he also, not thinking particularly deeply, saluted and went and did tough stuff because tough people have to do tough things. I mean, that's sort of the extent of the depth of his thinking. But Arabists weren't put aside. It's the institution was cowed by the administration and always serves. You serve the administration. It's not supposed to be a political institution. And so when your political masters do egregious things, there's a dilemma, because at what point does an officer or the institution say, no, our obligation is to the Constitution? And it sounds easy, but it's not easy to know when to do this or when not. And so that's more what happens than Arabists being put aside. There just never were enough.
But is the CIA and Brennan covering up for Rodriguez? He's not.
Well, not for Jose, I don't think.
He's out of there.
No, animus towards Jose particularly, but not covering up for him. But The momentum or inertia or sort of default inclination of an institution will be, certainly of the CIA, is, oh, my God, we don't want to have it shown that we were not thinking, we were whorish in our reasoning. Our hands are in the cookie jar, and this was all a big screw-up, which we misrepresented because we were trying to serve our masters and then wanted to present ourselves as having done really good things rather than saying, this isn't so good. And at a much, at the micro-individual level, that's what I portray in my book. There's a lot of careerism involved in the decisions, and then they all add up together to become egregious and to harm and to cost lives, even as well as break our laws. So that's the dynamic.
Sure.
Almost this reflexive inclination to protect oneself and avoid embarrassment or admission of error.
Well, just in the last minute, I may not be that far off with using the word hacking. Apparently that in a Senate Intelligence Committee hearing on January the 9th, Senator Ron Wyden, a Democrat of Oregon, asked John Brennan, the CIA director, whether provisions of the Federal Computer Fraud and Abuse Act apply to the CIA. It seems to me that there's a yes or no answer there. And Brennan replied that he'd have to get back to Wyden after looking into what the act actually calls for and its applicability to the CIA's authority. So that would indicate to me that maybe they're hacking. I wasn't so far off using the word hacking.
Well, it's, you know, I could well imagine a scenario where someone in power says, okay, how could the Oversight Committee guys know this? And we would have access to a database, and someone would answer that question. Then it would turn out that addressing that issue by a CIA officer is an illegal act. I mean, that kind of thing can happen, certainly.
Well, Glenn Carl, I thank you very much for joining us. I appreciate it.
My pleasure. Anytime.
Again, I've been speaking with Glenn Carl, who is the author of The Interrogator, an Education. Glenn Carl was a member of the CIA's clandestine service for 23 years and retired in 2007 as Deputy National Intelligence Officer for Transnational Threats. We're going to take a brief station break and we're back looking into Obama's 2015 budget.